Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, and also to welcome the four exciting, individual, and aggressive players of the game who have joined me this week. We welcome back the irrepressible Tony Hawks, the irreplaceable Clement Freud, the irredeemable Jeremy Hardy, and the irresistible Sue Perkins. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Dorking Halls in Dorking. And we have a truly hyped-up Dorking audience in front of us. In other words, we're in the county of Surrey, and we're delighted to be here as we start the show this week with Clement Freud. And Clement, the subject is positive thinking. Can you talk on that subject in this game, starting now?
Confucius was a great one for positive thinking. He wrote, "It is a mark of insincerity of purpose to seek an emperor in a low-down tea shop." And I would like to add to that that the Liberal Democrats will win the next government. Just a Minute will run forever. The British Broadcasting Corporation...
Tony Hawks is challenged.
What do you have to enter to win a government?
An election.
I think it's being a little bit so nitpicking on that one.
I withdraw that
remark.
I think
we knew what Clement meant, and I will give Clement the benefit of the doubt on the occasion, and I might find a chance to return it to you. Right? So, Clement, we call that an incorrect challenge, so you get a point for that.
I'm so embarrassed. I'm so sorry.
Don't be embarrassed. Others will be later on. And you have 39 seconds. You keep the subject positive thinking starting now.
Positive thinking is, of course, the opposite of negative thinking. Thoughts such as conservatives might easily get a majority next time the country... Sorry.
Sue Perkins has challenged. Yes, Sue.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was hesitation. Sue, so you now have a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject, which is positive thinking, and there are 27 seconds available starting now.
When my optician informed me that I was short-sighted, I became very depressed, and he advised me I might want to take up a course, what he described as positive thinking. This involved me removing my spectacles, standing in front of a mirror, and saying, "I love myself." Unfortunately, because I'd removed my glasses, I couldn't actually see my own face. Therefore, it was actually easier than normal to find myself endearing. The things I like...
Tony, you did actually challenge before the whistle went.
I can't go through with it.
There are rules. You can withdraw, or you can...
I'm withdrawing, I tell you.
Because I'm sure you were going to have her for hesitation, and she did hesitate.
Yeah, but I didn't realise it was so near the end of the thing, you see.
Well, as Sue has only played the game once before, I think we'll give her the benefit of the doubt and say that he's going to withdraw his challenge. So you were technically speaking as the whistle went, Sue, in which case you gained that extra point for doing so, and at the end of that round, you've taken the lead. And you begin the next round, so Sue, and the subject is bath time. Oh, what a lovely subject. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
In a very famous bath time incident, the Greek thinker Archimedes leapt from the soapy suds crying, "Ulrika!" Not many know that the Swedish blonde-haired meteorologist was such an inspiration and muse to the thinkers of the early age. But indeed, the play Medea was written about Anne Diamond, an embittered woman, and the host of GMTV presenters, Eamon Holmes, Fiona Phillips, formed the core of the Furies in Oresteia. In my own bathtub, I like to talk to Barry Norman. formerly of the BBC, but now languishing with Sky for a great deal more money than I will ever earn. I talked to him about my feature-length film, which is a post-feminist reworking of the Bible, featuring Kevin Costner as Lot, turned into a pillar of salt, but still managing to pump out 10 films a year for a total of $40 million. Other things I contemplate in my bathtub.
So, Sue Perkins started with the subject and finished with the subject and went for the full 60 seconds, and that hasn't happened for a very long time. And for someone who's only just started playing the game, that was very, very applaud. And the audience showed their appreciation with the way they clapped. And you have increased your lead, because you not only get a point for speaking with the whistle wind, but you get a bonus point for going without being interruption for 60 seconds. Jeremy Hardy, would you take the next subject? It is bringing home the bacon. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
If you bring home the bacon, it means you are the breadwinner. Now, by that, I don't intend to say that you have won some of that said yeast-based food, in the sense of an envelope appearing through your door saying, congratulations, you may be the proud winner of a sliced wholemeal. What I'm saying is you have brought home the income upon which your family will live. You may not be the sole person doing this, but in a sense you have brought home that bacon. The Roman army were paid not in money or salt, but in fact bacon. This is something that very few people realise, because in those days they didn't have currency, because you simply can't fry money in the way that you can with rashers. Another thing you can do with bacon is skin grafts. You thought pigs could only be used for their organs.
So Jeremy Hardy, starting with the subject, completely went for the full 60 seconds without being interrupted and without hesitating, repeating himself or deviating. So he gets a point for speaking as a whistleblower and the bonus point for not being interrupted. That has never happened in just a minute before. Two consecutive rounds for the full 60 seconds. We are making history today. And you good people of Dorking can now go home and say, I was there. I was there when it happened.
Am I next, Nicholas?
Yes, you're next.
No pressure, then.
Your turn to begin. Tony, jumping to conclusions. Try to see if you can go on that one for 60 seconds, starting now.
I'm always jumping to the conclusions. Not long ago, I saw Nicholas Parsons outside a theatre, dressed in a leather skirt with fishnet stockings, wearing makeup, and I assumed he had just left the stage of the Rocky Horror Show where he had been appearing. But no, in fact, it was just a Friday night and he was out to one of his clubs. But at school, we used to have a little club called the Jumping to Conclusions Gang. One person would come to a conclusion and the rest would jump around shortly afterward. This was tremendous fun. We used to do it throughout break and sometimes into the lunch hour as well, depending on whether anyone had actually reached a conclusion or not. The conclusions were a band I formed in the 16th year of my life, and we were particularly good. I played a little bit of bass, some other instruments, if none. It looks like I'm going to do it as well.
All the record books are being thrown out of the window. We've gone not for two, but now for three rounds.
The trouble is, the show's going to be 15 minutes long.
But anyway, Tony Hawks went for the full 60 seconds. He's got 2 points. Clement Freud, you're on something here, aren't you? Three complete rounds. You've been doing this for a number of years. See if you can create another record. The subject is Ballyhoo. So Ballyhoo's a subject, Clement. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Ballyhoo is an Irish seaside resort quite near Ballymena, Ballykinla, Ballynahinch, and Ballymappin. I spent many years in the cafe having eggs and bacon and sausage and tomato, which in Ireland is...
Oh, someone's challenged. Yes, Tony.
What I'm going to say yet. It doesn't take many years to eat egg, sausage, bacon and tomato.
So what's your challenge?
He said he spent many years eating egg, sausage, bacon and tomato. He's got to eat quicker.
Tony, it's a lovely idea. And we'll give you a bonus point because the audience enjoyed the challenge.
They might not want it, the booers.
But I did think he conveyed the fact that he spent many years going back there and enjoying that particular breakfast. So, Clement, I think it's an incorrect challenge. You have a point for that.
And you've got a good challenge. I think he should have it.
Tony, Clement is being very generous, as he is often on this in this show. And Ballyhoo's with you. 41 seconds available, starting now.
There is quite a ballyhoo in my household every time it's bath time. Tantrums, tears, shouting, which is embarrassing, really, because I live alone. But I agree with Clement that ballyhoo is a small Irish village wedged...
Clement, challenge.
Not.
So it was a fiction you created before. Right. Clement, a correct challenge, 22 seconds. Starting now.
Ballyhoo is a fuss you make, especially if you go to a small Irish village and you don't get a cafe.
Tony, your challenge.
A repetition of Irish village.
Quite.
That's right, yes, you mentioned the Irish village before. So, well, listen, Tony, you... you have a correct challenge.
What have I done to upset you in talking?
They're living every minute of it. And you have 13 seconds to tell us something about ballyhoo, Tony, starting now.
Ballyhoo is the kind of fuss that is caused in an audience in Dorking if someone makes a challenge that they are not fully in agreement with, even if they have not yet heard the challenge. They still get out there. They are so aggressive, but I admire them for that.
So, Tony Hawks, with points in that round, including one for speaking of the whistle, went, has moved forward. He's 1 point ahead of Sue Perkins, who's in second place, and then Clement Freud and Jeremy Hardy follow. And Sue Perkins, your turn to begin, and the subject is High Summer. Tell us something about High Summer in this game, starting now.
High Summer, or the monsoon season, as it's called here in England, generally begins in May and extends through to September. During this time, there is an influx of European visitors, namely French dressed in brightly coloured cagoules, who visit some of the greatest sights we have on offer and say, "That is very boring," to all of them. After this period, we have what is called an Indian summer. That lasts for approximately 30 seconds, during which I rush into my garden, lie on a sheet of Bako foil, just until my skin reaches boiling point, then I rush in and watch the clouds form. After this, there is the Great Cull, where great luminaries of...
Clement Freud challenges.
Repetition of great.
Yes, that's right. Correct challenge, Clement. A point to you, and there are 20 seconds available still on High Summer, starting now.
High Summer would be a sort of discourteous greeting to Elke Summer, an actress better known for her cleavage than her theatrical skills. And yet, High Summer could also refer to the odd bit of sunshine that we get from London to Dorking, all the way to the seaside.
Clement Freud got that point for speaking as the whistle went. He's now equal with Tony Hawks in the lead. And Tony Hawks, it's your turn to begin. The subject, double chins. Tell us something. Everybody in the audience is doing that, putting their heads up immediately. Double chins, 60 seconds, starting now.
I once wrote a song about a double chin called "I've Got You Under My Chin." But unfortunately, Cole Porter took the idea, made a tiny alteration, and had a massive hit with it, which was very disappointing to me, I can tell you. Now, the interesting thing about a double chin is that it cannot exist on its own. It has to have the other chin there, otherwise it becomes a single chin and loses its double chin status, which would be upsetting if you were a double chin and wanted to...
Jeremy challenge.
No, that's a nightcrow, because double chin is a collective term for two chins. You don't know... It's not one of the two chins. It's the both together. It's like a pair of chins.
You're trying very hard, but it doesn't work. A double chin is a singular You can use that in the singular.
Oh, can I?
Yes. So, Tony...
I shall use this knowledge wisely.
30 seconds, double chin, still with you, Tony, having got another point, starting now.
For some reason, people think it's unsightly to have a double chin. You could go on to have more, a quadruple chin. It doesn't matter, your appearance is not as important as you think, people of Dork.
Sue Perkins, you know,
repetition of people.
Yes, you said people, yes. And Sue, well, listen, you've got in there with 17 seconds on double chins, starting now.
The important thing with a double chin is never to talk to a child, because small people are much, much, much tinier than you. I just set myself up for that.
Oh, it's a tough game. Clement.
So what was that? Sorry, what am I being... What's the problem there?
It's offside.
Offside. 9 seconds, Clement. Double chins starting now.
If you have two breasts, it is known as a bosom, and yet a couple of chins don't have a collective term. They are known as a double chin.
Clement Troy speaking again. This was when gained that extra point. He's now moved further ahead. Tony Hawks and Jeremy Hardy. Tony Hawks second place. Jeremy Hardy Sue Perkins in equal in third place. And Jeremy Hardy, your turn to begin. And the subject is my worst habit. Tell us something about my worst habit, starting now.
My worst habit would have to be repetition, by which I mean saying the same thing over repeatedly and again. This might not seem like a cardinal sin or a truly perverse habit, but on this game it's considered worse than bestiality or Satanism, which in areas outside Dorset would be considered quite perverse in themselves, but in the west of England are considered field sports, along with beating badgers to death with pool cues and riding around on the backs of the working class.
Kevin Freud, challenge.
Considered three times.
Yes, you did say considered earlier on. He let you go for a bit, but you did repeat the word. And Clement, you got in. The 27 seconds available. My worst habit, starting now.
My worst habit is one that I bought in an Oxfam shop for under 50 pence. It was a special deal and contains sacking and an old silk lining once worn by a titled lady.
Tony Hawk's challenge.
I want to know how many other habits he's got. If that's his worst one.
Just a question, that was all.
Yeah, just how many other ones have you got?
Well, he may maybe tell us in just a minute, because you interrupted him, so he gets a point for being interrupted. He continues with the subject. 13 seconds, my worst habit, starting now.
A compulsion to throw pieces of sweet paper out of the window of my car, regardless of where I am, is an extremely bad habit, which some would think might be my worst.
He paused, but nobody challenged, and then the whistle went, so he gets the point for speaking. Tony Hawks, your turn to begin. And the subject is barking up the wrong tree. You have 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
For a long time, I never fully understood the logic of this expression, because I couldn't grasp the concept that there is actually a right tree to bark up. Surely whichever tree you go to perform this, it's still a waste of time, especially if you're a young man like I am. But then I discovered its origin. In fact, what it is coming from is the raccoon hunting. Hello, Buddha.
Sue Perkins, you challenge, yes.
Just a question, what's a raccoon?
I've got more than he's got habits of them, I tell you.
It's a deviation from English as we understand it. So, Sue, you have a correct challenge, and you have 33 seconds. Tell us something about barking up the wrong tree, starting now.
If it's wrong to bark up the wrong tree, then it's also wrong to meow up the wrong tree.
Tony challenged.
Repetition of wrong.
You can repeat the words on the card, not necessarily in the phrase, but individually and differently. So, Sue very cleverly did that. Tony didn't know the rules. And Sue's got another point and keeps the subject and the 29 seconds available. Barking up the wrong tree, starting now.
So the cats are in clover. There they are, meowing up the wrong tree.
Clement, you challenge.
Repetition of meowing.
Yes, Dorking.
Yes.
Sir Clement is right.
Some were listening and heard it, and some were not and didn't hear it. But, Clement, you were correct. You listened. 26 seconds. Barking up the wrong tree, starting now.
Barking up the wrong tree, or up the wrong tree, barking. Barking tree up. Wrong tree. All these are expressions showing that one has got the wrong end of the stick. Trees have barks, as everyone knows, as do dogs, who occasionally bark up the wrong tree because they don't know which the right tree is likely to be.
Clement Roy was then speaking as the whistleway and gained that extra point, and he's now moved ahead of Sue Perkins and then Tony Hawks and then Jeremy Hardy in that order. And Sue, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is panel games. Tell us something about that in the show starting now.
A panel game is generally where four people sit around talking and then Clement Freud wins. The first ever panel game took place in the First World War at Bulford Barracks, an unfortunate incident where somebody misunderstood the term quickfire round. Women in panel shows are expected to wear bright coloured blazers and not say very much, and in one of those respects, I am the same. As that. And also way off grammatically, which is good, but no one has picked up on it, so I carry onwards with my discussion of panel shows. Panel Beating was a great panel show, which Jeremy Clarkson hosted in 1979, sadly. It only went to one series and nobody watched it apart from me, which is great because I can talk about it and no one is there to challenge me.
Tony Hawk's challenge.
Repetition of No One.
No One, yes. It's correct.
I'll tell you, I'm not coming to Dorking on tour.
He plays by the rules. Let it get away with a couple of hesitations, so he comes in on a correct challenge of repetition and 13 seconds available on panel games with you, Tony, starting now.
I came up with a panel game once called That's My Beard, in which five bearded men came on, shaved off their...
Jeremy Hardy challenge.
He came twice. Which I'm not knocking at all.
No, it was not possible on Just a Minute because it's repetition. And there are 6 seconds available. Panel games with you, Jeremy, starting now.
Start the week is a bit like a panel game with all the rules taken away and no joke.
So it's pretty equal with the points and even in the contributions, but Clement Freud's just in the lead ahead of Tony Hawks and Sue Perkins and then Jeremy Hardy in that order. And Jeremy, your turn to begin. The subject, parasites. Tell us something about parasites in just a minute, starting now.
There is a huge family of parasites, so big it requires many palaces and castles to accommodate all of them. But there are, of course, other parasites. There is the ringworm. There is the theatre critic.
And Clement Freud, your challenge.
Repetition of there is.
There is, yes.
Fair play.
And I didn't like what he said.
I don't think the audience did either. Middle England rebelled. And, but Clement, you got him with the correct challenge of there is. 45 seconds available. Parasites starting now.
The parasites was probably the bravest regiment the army has ever seen. Replete with battle honours, medals, fights in which they defeated the enemy. And I wanted, when I joined the army, to join. I said join.
Yeah. Tony got in first.
A repetition of join.
Yes, And Tony, you got parasites. I'm sorry, you haven't got parasites. Have you?
I thought it was itching.
Yeah. I apologise, Tony.
Now that means I have...
I don't know why the audience enjoyed it so much. I don't know whether it is an image you project, which we don't know about. Anyway, 28 seconds are available for you to talk on parasites, Tony, starting now.
As far as I know, parasites are ugly little organisms which live off the organs of other creatures, not really contributing anything themselves to the well-being of the world. Hence, they've become rather unpopular. Certainly in our social parlance, when we use the word parasites, we're not paying compliments. I wouldn't really know who the social parasites are, and it's a very controversial area. Heaven knows there was nearly a big...
Tony Hawk speaking as the whistle man gained that extra point, and with other points in the round has moved forward. He's now only 1 point behind our leader, who is still Clement Freud. And Tony, your turn to begin. The subject, a chip off the old block. Can you tell us something about a chip off the old block, starting now?
I suppose if you are a chip off the old block, you are supposed to be like your parents. Yet my father was in the Merchant Navy, and my mother was a tiller girl. Now, I would need to be a dancing sailor, really, to be a chip off the old block. And I will be doing an act similar to that in Dorking in about a month's time. If any of you here would be interested in coming along, you can boo me in the same way as you did some of my challenges earlier on. And that time, it really will deserve it, because the performance will be abysmal, I have to tell you. But I used to have a block in my back garden that I used to chip away at for no reason, and that's all I have to say.
Jeremy Hardy challenged.
Hesitation.
It was a hesitation. So, you have the subject, which is a chip off the old block, and you have 18 seconds starting now.
There is a discussion as to whether things are hereditary or environmental. Most things, I believe, are a consequence of time and place. You can inherit male pattern baldness from your mother's father, but not a tendency to fight in the First World War. Unless certain conditions are in place, you will not simply replicate the activity.
So Jeremy Hardy, speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point, and he's now equal with Sue Perkins in third place. But they are only just 2 points behind Tony Hawks, who is 3 points behind Clement Freud. So, Clement Freud, we say, you are the winner this week. So, it only remains me to say thank you to our four exciting and talented players of the game, Sue Perkins, Clement Freud, Jeremy Hardy and Tony Hawks. Also thank Janice Staplehurst, who's helped me with a score and blown her whistle so delicately. We are also indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game that we enjoy playing so much. And, of course, we are deeply indebted to our producer, Claire Jones, for her production and also her direction. But we are even more indebted to this lovely audience here in Dorking, who have thrilled us and moved us on our way with éclat. A lovely, warm Surrey audience from them, from the panel, from me, Nicholas Parsons. Thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.